Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Hello, Fish Nerds. Clay Groves here. Before you push play on this week's episode, oops, you already pushed it. But if you did push it and you are offended easily, you've got children around, you are a child, you should skip this episode. This episode is potentially very offensive. We talk a lot about sex on this show this week, and we are very explicit. So really important to hear that before you get on with the show. But here's the show. Everyone, it seems, wants to get more fish in the world. It's up to you and me, girl. Hello and welcome to the Fish Nerds, the show about fish, fishing, and eating fish. The show that's always interesting, usually funny, and mostly true. I'm Clay Groves, Chief Executive Fish Nerd, Licensed Fishing Guide, your best friend. And I'm so happy to be here. I'm so happy that you are listening. Today on the podcast, we are doing our annual Valentine's special, hence the fancy, sexy music at the intro. And we are so happy that we have two very special, beautiful guests, Tani Plattis, who is the founder of Tani Voice, which is an audio production company. She was one half of the Dirty Bits podcast, which I was a huge fan of, with her late husband, George. After he passed away, she turned the Dirty Bits into Death is Hilarious, a sarcastically named podcast feed that utilizes humor to explore and cope with loss and grief, which is so complicated. And we have Kate Wallinga, who is a, Kate, what?
Sure, yeah.
It's your name. It matters.
It's my husband's name.
We have Kate, who is a forensic psychologist and crisis clinician turned podcaster. She is a host and producer of Ignorance Was Bliss, a podcast where she collects stories to try and figure out how we become who we are. She also co-hosts Life World about crimes involving the internet with Derek Graziano. We will do the news today, and we will talk all about fish love. So it's a good day to be on the pod. Ladies, welcome to the Fish Nerds Podcast.
Hi. Thank you.
Yeah, so I was telling you off air that I'm fans of both of your shows. And I post up on one of the podcast groups, I need two women to come on the show and talk about fish sex. And you both were like, me. And I was like, it's a perfect pair. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun today. So we're gonna jump right into the content because I don't like to wait around. And so we're going to start off with the famous fish quiz. And this should warm you up into understanding what's going to happen on the rest of today's show. Have you heard of the famous fish quiz?
I have. I have listened. I'm terrified.
Oh, good. And Connie, have you ever heard of the famous fish quiz?
I'm not familiar with the fish quiz.
Well, so fishing is such a complicated sport with thousands and thousands of, and it's barely a sport, by the way. I don't really defend that statement. With thousands and thousands of terms, and they're all kind of odd. And so what I've done today is I made a little quiz for the two of you. And we're going to have a little contest. And do you see the hat I'm wearing right now?
Can't miss it.
Yeah, it's a hot pink Fish Nerds beanie. It's lined with the belly fur of a fur-bearing trout to keep you extra warm in the wintertime. And we're actually going to play a game, and one of you is going to win my hat. Yeah, that's going to be a good game. And here
Tawny,
is the
you're
game.
Going
now
down.
Now it's getting competitive.
I know. I got to find a pen so I can keep score. So here's how the game's going to go down. I'm going to read you each. We're going to go back and forth. I'm going to read you each three words. Two of them are very common flies for fly fishing. The other one is a sex toy. You have to decide which is which. Or you
okay.
have to pick out the sex toy.
Okay.
Bonus
okay.
points. Bonus points if you know what the toy is.
Okay.
All right. So we have, I'm going to get my paper out for keeping score. We got time.
Do we buzz in?
No, we're going to go back and forth. We got Tawny versus okay. Kate. The trick is who goes first. If one of you guys have a preference, or should I just pick?
You can, Tawny, you do you.
Yeah. Let me take it away.
All right, Tawny's going to be first. All right, you ready, Tawny?
I'm ready.
So remember, two of these are flies. The other one is a sex toy. You tell me the sex toy, and you get a bonus point if you know what the sex toy is.
Sounds good.
All right. So, prairie dog, rabbit, or bunny leech?
Rabbit is the sex toy.
You knew off the bat. By the way.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to murder you, Kate.
By the way, I meant to do a disclaimer at the beginning. before we get too far in, The Fish Nerds is not a children's show, although normally it is family friendly. This show is not. So if you made it this far and your kids and your kids are listening, turn it off. and very specifically to my kid, Zoe, my 12-year-old, turn this off right now. You are not allowed to listen to this. And if you do, you are not allowed to ask me any questions later.
So with that being said, let me explain what the sex toy is, right?
Oh, please.
The rabbit is a vibrator.
Yes. And what about it makes it the rabbit?
It has little ears.
Thank you. And we're not going to go. I'm not going to ask you what the ears
sign
are for.
Language and
although
everything.
I know.
Oh, I know. It's such a bummer. We don't have the visuals. I did a little murp, murp with my fingers.
Yeah. I can't tell you how much time I spent Googling things today, and what a rabbit hole I got.
As it were, I see what you did there.
Right. So right off the bat, Tawny with 2 points here on the first thing. Are you ready, Kate?
I doubt it. Go for
right.
it.
We have the booby nymph, the the Kaufman stimulator, or the Orlina stimulator.
Oh, should I think it's the Kaufman stimulator?
No, the Kaufman stimulator is a fly.
Oh, okay. And I am appalled.
So, yeah, sorry about that. The Orlina stimulator, which is just a very small, soft vibrator. So
I knew one of them was, but I don't know brand names.
Like, I know.
I shop generic, man.
I get all my vibrators at Walmart. Again, Zoe, daughter of mine, turn this off right now. Stop listening. All right. She's probably still listening. All right. Number three. This is for Tawny. We have the Philoplume Dragon, the Love Honey, or the Rainbow Warrior.
I think the dragon is a sex toy.
The dragon is not a sex toy.
Oh, no?
Yeah. No, it is the Love Honey, which actually is a brand of sex toys.
It's not really a sex toy. It's a brand of sex toys.
It is indeed.
Tawny and I go to Walmart together to buy our sex toys.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. Tawny, you're still ahead 2-0 here. Kate, moving on. this is going to be a fun one. We have the Hydromax, the Grizzly Clink Hammer, or the Fritz Bugger. The Hydromax, the Grizzly Clink Hammer, or the Fritz Bugger?
I think it's the Fritz Bugger.
No, it is not the Fritz Bugger. That is a
no,
fly.
No, see?
Very
okay.
common fly. That's... It's the Hydromax. Hydromax. Yeah. And if you know what the Hydromax is, I'll give you a point anyway.
Well, obviously I don't.
I thought maybe the name would cue. It's a,
No, I was going to say it's like a bidet.
No.
Oh my God. Freud just called there. That was a true crime slip of the tongue.
Yeah. Anyway. The Hydromax is a penis pump. Yeah. Which I wouldn't know what to do with. All right, so next. I'm so uncomfortable. I barely know you guys. Is it good with you? We're warming up.
Oh, I feel like I'm just getting such an education. I'm fascinated.
It's fun. All right, Tani. Mm-hmm. Here we go. We have the Mrs. Simpson, the Lilo Hugo, or the Copper John. Mrs. Simpson, Lilo Hugo, or Copper John.
Lilo Hugo?
It is the Lilo Hugo. Bonus, what is it?
Mm-hmm. Let's see, the Lilo Hugo. Is that a strap-on?
You know, you're in the right area, but I'm not going to give you the points for it. It is a radio-controlled prostate stimulator.
That's what it was. See, that wouldn't have been something that I would have been like picking out. That's something I've seen advertised.
You live an interesting life.
Yeah, your wish ads are amazing.
I live in Southern California. It was unavoidable.
It is. This is something I learned about that today, in fact. So I didn't know that was a thing. And there's a lot of videos online that you should not watch. No. It's upsetting. Okay.
It's upsetting.
I don't know what to do. All right. I can't tell you how uncomfortable I am, so I don't know you. I'm just dropping all this on you. All right, Kate.
All right, Clay, talk dirty to me. Go.
Let me put on my best voice here. All right, Kate. How about Dave's Hopper, Peter Piper, or the Humpy? Dave's Hopper, Peter Piper, or the Humpy.
Okay. Oh yes. Mm-hmm. I don't have any idea at all on this. So I'm gonna go with Peter Piper.
You are correct, Peter Piper for a point. Kate, finally on the board, and
finally,
finally. You know, have you been married a long time? I think you would know more of these.
You'd think, you know, 20 years is not quite long enough, but you know, I'm telling you, generic brand for one, and for another, I mean, when you start having kids as a baby, mm-hmm. then you just, you know, the labels wear off.
Right.
Okay.
I'm so glad we're doing this. So bonus point. What is the Peter Piper?
I don't know. Is it a version of the Accommodator?
What is the Accommodator?
You don't know.
No, I am not an expert. This is not my field. I'm a fish person.
Please do not use a fish as an accommodator. Please.
No.
Please, Kate, tell me what an accommodator is. I need to know.
It is a way of anally pleasuring the man either during sex, during oral sex, or just like as a way to get to know him better.
Well, that's how you know a person? I just met you. Then this whole okay. No, it is not. Now, the Peter Piper is actually a glass blown,
as it were,
vibrate dildo that is actually a pipe for smoking marijuana. Their logo is smoke it, then poke it. It's a real thing. Smoke it, then poke it.
Okay. I'm so glad I got that wrong. I had no.
I'm disappointed, Kate. I thought for sure.
I am not. I thought so too.
All right. So we're halfway done the game. How are you feeling about so far?
This is a blast and I'm getting such an education. I'm like, a few of these I didn't know. And I didn't know that a fly, that was the question I did have for you, was why would you call a fly a stimulator? If one of those flies.
Yeah. So a stimulator is a fly that stimulates a fish to eat. It excites them.
Oh, I see.
And
okay.
Yeah. So you throw it in the water and you'll a lot of times a fish will chase that fly, but won't eat it. But then once they see it, they get, oh, maybe I'm hungry. And then you put on a fly that closes the deal.
Okay. It does make sense.
Yeah. So you might start with the Kaufman stimulator and you may end with the prairie dog or the rainbow or the Philoplume dragon. Or the grizzly clink hammer.
You know me quite well already. Yes. You know.
Oh, baby. If one thing I know is how to talk flies to a lady. All right. So, whose turn is it? I lost track. Is it Tani? Yeah, because we were at Peter Piper.
Because I just had the Peter,
right.
Peter Piper.
Right.
All right. So here we go. We have Orange Death, the Squildo, or the Hamill's Killer?
The Squildo.
The Squildo. All right, Tawny. What is it?
Okay. If I'm wrong about what I think it is, it's going to look real bad for me.
I'm listening.
I don't have this. I think the Squildo, is it not unlike those fantasy dildos that are made out of, it's like a, what would you say?
I don't know.
It's like a rubbery jelly material. It's like a dildo. Uh-huh. It's another dildo. Is it kind of, is it like a dildo that maybe the character from Guillermo del Toro's film would have? The Shape of Water. You know, the character from The Shape of Water that kind of looks like a fish.
Just keep
talking.
It's
a dildo.
I love this so much.
That would be similar to his penis. I saw an advertisement for this on Amazon and I was intrigued.
I told you Wish, right?
I am so afraid of my Amazon ads coming up here in a little bit. The Squildo is a dildo that is like a rocket shaped on one end, like a like the top of a squid, and then the bottom end actually has tentacles.
See, I was on the right track.
So it looks like a squid. So you're on the right track. I'm not going to give it to you, though, because, well, like if Kate said that, I would give it to her.
It was not specific to the character.
God, because it feels bad for Kate.
Right.
You know, Kate, that
was pretty damn close.
It was pretty damn close. Okay, I can accept losing this particular game. I'm still like scribbling furiously over here. So
and she's making notes. Google.
I'm a little
later.
Disappointed I'm not doing better.
I am, you know, I'm going to drink my drink. This is delicious. Okay.
I've only gotten like two right.
You got 4 points, though, so... To Kate's one. That's a score so far. All right, Kate, you're up. You ready?
Sure.
All right. We have the Adams Irresistible, the Marabou Muddler, or the Jimmy Jane.
The Jimmy Jane.
It is the Jimmy Jane.
It is?
Yeah. and you were so sure, Tawny. You were like, no.
It's
the Marabou Muddler.
I thought it was Adams.
Jimmy Jane. So, bonus point, Kate, what is it?
It's like a strap-on?
No, it's not like a strap-on. It's just a soft vibrator, almost like an egg vibrator, but with like softer edges.
Like a pocket pussy. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I don't know, he says in visual quotes.
I do not know. I have to Google that one, and I'm afraid to. All right. I Googled so many things today. Okay. Tawny. So awkward. All right. I thought I'd be more comfortable with this by now.
I think it's fun. I'm sorry that you're not more comfortable.
Well, it's totally fun. I feel like I'm blushing all over. All right. Tawny. Here we go. We have the Epoxy Buzzer, the PTN Hotspot, or the Pro Touch.
The Pro Touch is the sex toy.
It is the sex toy. I thought for sure you'd go for the buzzer.
No.
And what is it?
I think the Pro Toy is the vibrator that is controlled with music. You can control the vibrations with music.
The Pro Touch is a musically controlled vibrator?
Yes.
It is not. It is a butt plug.
Oh, there you go.
It might be musically controlled. I don't know. I didn't read that far into it. I was
didn't do that deep of a dive.
No, I did not dive deep there into the abyss.
I was going to assume all the way to the hilt, but whatever. Like, yeah.
I didn't go all the way to the knuckles on that when I was trying to keep it shut. Oh, I hate this game. All right, Kate. I wrote
the man who invented the game.
I wrote it and I hate it. All right, Kate.
Real Frankenstein moment for you.
You know, that's half my life. I think the Fish Nerds podcast does that for me sometimes, too. Like, sometimes I wonder, why do I do this? Kate, are you ready?
I am ready for you, yes.
All right. Thank you, Kate. I'm so glad you're ready for me. I am ready for you. All right. I'm going to give you the iconic bullet, the beaded woolly bugger, with a red-eyed damsel.
I gotta go. The bullet.
Let's see. Iconic bullet, beaded woolly bugger, or red-eyed damsel.
Yeah, the iconic bullet.
The bullet is correct. And what is it?
A fairly compact vibrator, yes?
Yeah, and they call them what kind of vibrators?
I'm sorry? What kind?
What kind of vibrator, yeah.
Oh,
it's in the name. It's in the name.
It's iconic.
No, go to the other side.
What?
Bullet.
Bullet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I thought that. Okay. That was sort of understood. I was going the next step. I didn't realize I was going back to the name of the thing. It is a bullet vibrator.
Yeah, I'll give you the point for that. All right. So now the game's getting close, Tani. I hope you can handle this.
I hope you're breathing heavy at least.
I am. Tani, you are at 5 and Kate's at 4. Two questions left. All right. And so here are the questions. Here's number 11 for Tani. Cat's Whisker, Malibu Minx, Parachute Hopper.
It's the Cat Whisker.
It is not the Cat Whisker.
No!
Yeah, the Cat Whisker is a fly. It is the Malibu Minx. Malibu Minx, and it's just a small vibrator. It's not that exciting. I mean, it might be exciting.
It's not.
I don't know. I've not touched it.
That's why we've never heard of it.
Define exciting.
I'm sure. Well, no. I will not. But I'm sure some people enjoy it. It is mass manufactured, so. All right, Kate, you could take it right here.
I really could.
If you can name the sex toy and what it is, that would give you 2 points, and that would give you the win. If you can only name the sex toy, you tie, and I have to find a second hat to mail somebody else. So a tie results in you both get Fish Nerds hats. Okay?
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
A lot of pressure. The red-eyed damsel, the atomic worm, or the Zalo queen. Red-eyed damsel, atomic worm.
I pictured all of those at once.
Zalo queen.
Wow.
I'll take them all, please.
H.P. Lovecraft called. I don't know. I don't know. I think I have to go with the worm.
The atomic worm?
Yeah.
No, the atomic worm is a green piece of string tied to a hook.
I'm just really glad that I'm wrong on that one, actually. But yeah.
The Zalo Queen, and it's a very large vibrator, as one might imagine. So the winner is Tani.
Yay!
Congratulations. You get to win the hat that I am wearing right now.
Can't wait to get it.
You're going to love it. It's super warm and perfect for Southern California. All right, ladies, I'm going to give you guys each a quick chance to pitch your podcast to the Fish Nerds audience. So I'm going to let Kate go first. Kate, tell us about your show.
Okay. I am a former forensic psychologist and crisis clinician. And I went on disability in 2014, and I spent years listening to podcasts, and I would hear people ask questions like, what does it mean to have schizophrenia, or what does it mean to be not guilty by reason of insanity? And I would answer, except I was sitting alone on my couch several months after it had been recorded, and it didn't seem all that helpful to anybody. So eventually, also, I realized that people were not just like pounding down my door asking questions for me. So I had to start my own show, and that's what I did. Over a time, I drifted away from true crime because it's a messed up field. It's a messed up community. It's a messed up headspace to be in all the time. And when you drop, 27 episodes a week, the way that I do, it's best to have plain old normal podcasters too.
Yeah, normal people are good too. We like murderers, but we also like regular folk.
We in the ways that, serial killers are like podcasters. It's helpful.
They are just like podcasters. So your show is Ignorance Was Bliss?
Ignorance Was Bliss. That's my main show. I have a second show about cybercrime with Derek, in which we actually don't get all that murdery all that often, but the idea is that everybody's using the computer all the time to try and, say, listen to podcasts, for instance, and let's talk about some of the things that people do that are not all that ethical or not all that smart.
Perfect. And I put links up to your podcast on the show notes at fishnerds.com. And of course, scroll down the app and click right through and you can subscribe to those. Tani Plattis, tell us about your pod.
My podcast was originally The Dirty Bits of History.
I loved from the very beginning. Loved that
Thank
show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I keep going. Sorry.
No, it's okay. My husband and I produced the show together. I'm a voice actor and he did the audio editing. He passed away in November and I had to go back to work. So I transitioned our podcast from The Dirty Bits, which was far too difficult to start back up again, into a podcast that uses comedy, which is my background, to cope with loss and grief. And I interview other podcasters and artists on how they use humor and comedy to cope with grief.
Yep. And I'm going to be honest, you lost George, I haven't listened to the show because I was kind of like, I do avoidance. That's how I deal with things. And so today I made it a point to listen to your most recent episodes. And I think I really like how you handle things. And I think that you were talking today or your most recent episode of how there's no rules on how to deal with grief. And it was so resonated with me and on how, like, when people tell people how they're supposed to feel, how horrible that is and how wrong it is, because the way you feel is the right way to feel at any given time. So thank you for doing this important message to get to people. And it takes a lot of strength and I'm proud of you.
So, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Well done. So, but you're a little teary too at the same time.
Always.
So, even me, I just know your voices. And so it's hard. All right. And this podcast is brought to you by Olukai, which is a handcrafted Hawaii-inspired footwear company. Inspired by the Hawaiian culture and craftsmanship. Fishing is at the heart of the Hawaiian culture today, just as it has been for centuries. Generations of fishermen and women expertly cast from rocky shorelines and sandy beaches. They spearfish, throw nets, fly fish, and navigate their boats beyond the reef and into deep blue in search of the next big catch. No matter how they do it, there's an attention to detail and respect for the ocean that guides their passion. At Olukai, they believe in the same attention to detail when crafting the highest quality shoes and sandals built for every type of marine environment. Olukai's water-friendly, Noheha Moku slip-on shoe features razor spring with non-marking rubber for extra grip in the deck, and the dock on the rocks is designed for easy on or off barefoot wear. And when it comes to sandals that perform, Olukai's new Ulela provides the comfort and durability of a sneaker for those long days on the boat or on the shore. And I'm actually really excited about this because they sent us shoes. And so, like, later this week, my wife and I get to open this box of brand new shoes and try them on. And we posted a picture up last week on the pod, and our listeners actually, we have some that actually wear these shoes. So kind of a nice company to resonate with our audience. And so we thank Olukai for sponsoring this podcast, and we'll put links up at fishnerds.com. So you can click right on through and you don't have to worry about how to spell it. It's Olukai.com. And just click on through and buy some shoes and make a little comment and say the Fish Nerd sent you, and you'll be heroic. The Fish Nerds is also brought to you by the Fish Nerds Guide Service. If you want to get your family out in the ice this winter in safety, how about hiring the Fish Nerds? That's me, to take you and your family out on a safe fishing adventure. We're open year-round, and we're very, very excited about it. And can I thank myself for sponsoring me? That doesn't make any sense. So the main meat of today's show I want to talk about is fish sex. Fish have all kinds of crazy sex. And I thought, since both of you guys were really good at sex and understanding people, we could probably talk about fish sex and maybe talk about some people or personality traits that match the way the fish like to do it. How's that sound?
This is amazing.
Yeah. So, and that's, I always say, like, it's funny. I'm always posting on the podcasting groups online. I need a guest, you know, to come on my podcast, and the people say, I don't talk about fish. And I remind them that fish is about everything. We can always find our stuff. So we're going to talk about some bizarre facts about fish, their genitalia, and the reproductive rituals, and what it is to be a fish. You guys ready? Jump in at any time. Don't be shy.
I bring it.
I'm going to bring it. All right. So the first fish we're going to talk about is called the larger gonopodium. So scientists discovered fish with bigger penises breed fish with bigger brains. Male mosquito fish with larger gonopodiums, a fin that's modified to be the equivalent of a fish penis, are better at coercing females to mate with them as opposed to males, which fish that are less endowed. This is true. It's true. They're called the penis fish. Scientists indicate that penis length might factor into this, and their research also revealed that female offspring of the large penis fish had brain sizes that were the average 4.6% to 6.5% larger than those of the offspring of male fish with smaller penises. Although the difference was significantly larger for the female offspring, there was no change in the brain size for male offspring. So, let me ask you a question. Both my daughters are really, really smart. What's that mean?
That means that you're going to tell this story and every guy on the fucking planet.
Have you heard of the gonopodium?
Are you familiar with?
I wear really big shoes.
No, please tell me more.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You're already bored of that one. Next.
You just created just so many problematic pickup lines that we're going to have to deal with now.
Right. So the pickup line is going to have the word gonopodium in it. So you have to, but you have to sell the brain space on that.
That would be what impressed me, would be the vocabulary. Then I'd be like, okay, it sounds like you had some decent SAT scores. Let's talk.
Yeah.
So you've been practicing in front of the mirror. It's all good. Keep doing the thing.
So not only are you well endowed, but you talk good too.
You have big words.
Yes. Yeah, but I mean, it's amazing. Like, first of all, I want to know what scientists decide to measure those two things together. Like, whenever I read a study like this, I'm like, so they're studying this fish, they know it has this penis, and they're going, you know what, I bet you that large penis means the fish are smarter for the babies.
That was a team of male scientists.
I want to know how accurate the fish itself is at estimating its own penis size.
Oh, that's a great question. Do they exaggerate? Are they like humans?
I once caught a fish this big.
Right.
It's cold in the water.
I'm a shower, not a grower. I mean, I'm a grower, not a shower. I can't get it right. All right. Well, that was fun. I'm glad we started there. All right. So some fish mate through external fertilization. As do humans. Many fish reproduce simply by excreting their reproductive materials, sperm and eggs, into the water so they will unite, be fertilized, and turn into offspring. This is called broadcast spawning or external fertilization. And by doing this, they're broadcasting their genetic code into the water. Female and male fish release their eggs and sperm into the same area of water at the same time and let nature take care of the rest. However, the eggs need to be continuously suspended in water by the current. If a current isn't present during fertilization, the eggs will sink into the bottom and die. So the way this works is, this is popular in like fish like salmon. You have all these males and females that get into these giant clusters, and the water becomes a cloud of sperm and eggs.
I've been to those parties. Totally haven't. Totally.
Hey, I'm so happy that you have. I listen to the Savage Love podcast religiously every week, which is Dan Savage's sex and advice podcast. And I listen to it because I hear about this life that people live that I'm like, wow, people do those things. And I like vicariously live through everybody else. So, Kim, glad that you are having these kind of parties.
I know who the father is of all of my children.
Me too. I know who my kid's dad is too, I think. So... So that's broadcast spawning. A lot of fun. And I think that there's a lot of male brains who think that's the best way to do it.
That sounds like where all of the dick videos, jerking off videos that you get on Snapchat. Like, it's like, this is like a David Attenborough special. This is a David Attenborough special.
Should I read this in his voice?
Maybe. Like
I can't do his accent. I can't do his accent.
Oh, I did this like in a bit recently. It's so true. Like, it's so interesting that you told me that. I'm like, now it makes sense why I get those Snapchats. Cause this is just in like their evolutionary DNA. This is what they evolved from. Was
they're actually
literally
fish.
Broadcast sperming. You know, that's spawning, why you get those spawning and sperming. I'm grieving. My widow break power. I'm allowed.
You're allowed. Yeah, I can sperm wherever I want. I'm sad.
Sperm anywhere. Yeah, sperm all over the place.
I mean, that's you said I can do what I want when I'm grieving, and I want to sperm places.
I want to sperm.
There's no wrong way to grieve.
There's no wrong way to sperm.
There are wrong ways to sperm for sure. Like, I would say that.
Oh, that's just so funny. It really is just in their DNA right from the beginning.
Right from the beginning.
They are part fish. Yeah.
They can't help it. They have to just broadcast it out. That's why we get dick pics.
That's why, you know, it's funny. I've never, maybe because I'm old and a dude, I've never gotten any sexting of any kind. Like, no one's ever sent me anything.
So. It's just so odd because of how like abrupt it is too. It's like, hey, how's it going? You have a really nice smile. Oh, and you're into Rage Against the Machine. Wah! Yeah.
Here's my
Jesus
meat
Christ.
Well, except, oh, that's cute.
Oh, that's how you should reply to all. Oh,
yeah,
look
pretty
at that.
Much. Yeah. It's pretty much.
Wait, what am I looking at?
I had never had a problem until the past month. And in the past month, there are two podcasters specifically that have convinced themselves that my day is only made complete if I'm greeted head on.
Really?
As it were.
Well, I'm sorry. I thought you wanted that.
Thanks, but no. Like,
well, I do, and my phone number is 607-378-FISH. So please feel free to send me whatever you like. I no one's literally ever sent me anything good, so I welcome it.
I don't know why I get dick pics. I want to see.
I know, no, but that's
I know, right? Okay,
everybody wants to see tits.
Why can't
everybody?
I see tits? Why will nobody show me their tits? I see.
I'll
dick
show
all
you
day,
my tits.
Just a reminder, this Fish Nerds Today is not a kid's show. And if your kids are listening, you've already
heard them. Absolutely send you a photo when we're done, Johnny.
It's like, it's hard for everybody. I get it. Like, I understand the straight man's plight. It is hard to see tits.
They're just everywhere. I mean, it's sad.
I relate with straight men a lot. I'm like, I get it. It's hard to get women. It is hard, man.
I have no words. I don't even know what to do anymore. Okay, how about we talk?
You asked us to be here.
I'm so glad you're here.
I warned you.
I was warned. All right, I'm actually so happy. All right, so did you know that there is a fish that has genitals on its head?
That would be the dickhead fish?
It is a dickhead fish. That's dickhead its Latin name. Fish. Yeah, dickheadimus latinus. All right, discovered in the waters of Vietnam's Mekong Delta. This is true. The Flacitus coulong is a fish with a preapium or fish versions of a penis located on its chin. The preapium features a saw-like hook used to attach the female during mating, and the genital opening of females is also located on her throat. So they have face-to-face sex. Yeah, and I'm sure it's like, why won't you look me in the eyes?
The romance is heavy on that one.
Yeah, it's fish. And fish are weird, man. They're just so weird. Genitals on its head. We know all those people.
I really do.
Yeah. This is one of my favorite. This is literally the only job this male fish has. When mating, a male anglerfish dissolves until only its testes remain. And I'm actually not going to read you the description on this because I'm just going to tell you about it. So the way these fish mate is the females are huge, huge fish. Anglerfish are those fish that live in the bottom of the ocean. They got that lantern on the front of their heads and big giant teeth. And they dangle that around, attract fish, and they bite into it. But the way this fish reproduces is the male will bite the female and become a parasite to her. And kind of dissolve into her body, absorbing her nutrients, and becomes a gonad sac. And then whenever she wants to spawn, she just extracts the eggs directly into her, the sperm directly into her body and mates and then lays the eggs on wherever she feels like it. So she just carries around this like gonad sack of a male, and they're like teeny compared to the size of the females.
Parasitic boyfriend. I've had that.
You had that. Just latch on, never let go.
So that's absorbing all my nutrients, taking all my energy.
Yeah, but you know, but could you extract his sperm whenever you wanted it?
Yeah, pretty much.
I could do that regardless.
It's never been hard.
That has nothing to do with anything.
Yeah. Well, all right. I'm glad we're having this talk. I'm learning so much about you.
Again, you asked us here.
It's true. All right. The Lanos mosquito fish features fearsome genital hooks. There's a fish residing in the fresh waters of Mexico that uses its genitalia equipped with four sharp hooks to grab its mate. The Lanos mosquito fish features barbs that enable it to latch onto females' genital pores to facilitate mating and the injection of sperm. This fearsome fish genitalia most likely evolved in the way to counteract the female fish's own defense against undesirable mates. So
they're like ducks.
They are like ducks.
Well, the duck penises are insane, though.
Well, the corkscrew, and they hook in there. And
well, not to mention duck vagina. You know about duck vaginas.
Yes, it is all kinds of mess.
Well, no, it's a duck. So the male ducks are going to mate with whoever they want. They're very rapey animals. Mm-hmm. But the females can select which vagina opening, those dead end ones, they mate with. So they only mate with the one they want to. They've got extra vagina openings. They've got dead ends.
So they have booby trapped vaginas?
Not trapped, just dead ends.
Like,
so the male has no idea. He's like, "Oh yeah, look what I did," and she's like, "No, you didn't.
It was a mistake, honey. It was the wrong hole. I'm so sorry."
Yeah, but she can select which one she chooses. Yeah, yeah.
She has decoy vagina.
Is she choosing though, or is he just misaiming?
No, they select. It's a selection process. It's, you know, it's really hard for a duck to say no. They just love it so much, but they want the right sperm. So, and that's not a fish. That's a duck. And I knew that. You're welcome.
Oh, my gosh. These animals are aggressive.
Aren't they? And fish are amazing. All right. The female seahorse has an ovipositor, which serves as a penis. In the marine world, a female seahorse uses her ovipositor as a protrusion at the base of her torso that is the equivalent of a penis, to insert her eggs into the male's brood pouch. Once the eggs are fertilized, the male sperm inside the brood pouch, the embryos then attach to themselves to the inner walls until they mature. Scientists have counted as many as 1,500 independent seahorse offspring emerging from a single male at one time. So not only the males carry the babies, but they also get penetrated during sex by the female.
Now, okay, I have a story about seahorses. This is not specifically about seahorse sex, but it's about seahorses. So I have approximately 1,500 kids, not quite, but in the neighborhood. And they're about every 5 years apart. And so this is probably about 5 years ago. So my oldest would have been about 15 years old. And then her brothers were like 10 and 5. And we take them to the New England Aquarium.
Ooh, I love that.
And there's like a seahorse display. And Emily, 15 years old, starts telling her brothers how these aren't real. That this is like an animatronic, like there's no such thing as a seahorse. And my husband's like, "Emily, don't fuck with your brothers. Like, now is not the time, you know what I mean?" Like, no, she really, until 15 years old, my child believes that seahorses were pretend.
That's so funny.
None of us has any idea why. She just somehow in her head, this wasn't a real thing. Like that we came up with the word seahorse for, like, I don't know, little tiny mermen and merwomen to ride around or something. And they weren't real. And we're standing in the New England Aquarium before we learned that, No, those are real things. So yeah,
well, I mean, to be honest, like I've seen them in real life, and I'm still not convinced they're real. So they don't make any sense. They're the dumbest looking animal. They're just so weird looking and bizarre, and it just they're senseless animals. I don't understand them. Incidentally, seahorses are also the most accurate almost of all animals as far as hunting on the planet. They are the most vicious predators we have. So like
they're the most vicious?
Yeah, the most accurate hunters on the planet. Right. They're almost a 98% accuracy rate when it comes to eating. And where most animals are missing most of their food, these guys catch almost everything
the
they want.
Majority.
Yeah. Because we're eating phytoplankton, zooplankton, the tiny, tiny animals, but they're incredibly accurate eaters. So the female mounts the male, penetrates him, impregnates him, degrades
him. Of course. As one does.
Yeah, as one would. And then he has to carry the offspring and has 1,500 babies while she's off killing and eating things and pretending to be a fake animal. So that's her game.
I'm on board with all of this.
Yeah.
Is that not how most marriages work?
Well, I've been married a long time and I don't want to talk about it. All right. there is a fish that mates orally. Females of certain species of cichlids are known as mouth breeders.
Mouth breeders. That's so funny.
It's a real thing. They will.
No, Deep Throat's not. This was a movie called Deep Throat. This isn't real.
That's different too.
This isn't real.
Mouth breathers are different. We've gotten those phone calls. Yes.
Yeah. Mouth breeders. The female lays her eggs, then she picks them all up in her mouth, and then the male sperms in her mouth to fertilize the eggs.
You're going to ruin a lot of Women's Valentine's Day with all of these fun facts.
Or make them better.
Honey,
it's how you keep your teeth whiter.
Yeah. So yeah, anyway, so
there's a better chance of you getting pregnant if I
come in your mouth, it'll be okay. Oh my God.
No boundaries of you two.
What was that word that you just used?
Mouth breeders.
Boundaries.
Yes.
Boundaries.
Well, I'm gonna leave it there. So anyway, mouth breeders, real thing. Incidentally, there are male fish that also, after the spawning has happened, male fish will pick up all the eggs and will carry them in their mouth until they hatch, and then the babies will hatch out of the male's mouth. And then the males will collect all the babies alive in the mouth and hold them in the mouth to protect them while they develop. So aww, there are some good fish parents out there. The mouth breeders are just dirty.
But they have really white teeth.
They have really, yes, they have great teeth and they smell like chlorine.
A lot of protein.
Yeah. All right. And there are sunfish that will camouflage themselves to look like females, pretend to be females in order to mate. So the bluegill sunfish, the way bluegills mate is there's one bull bluegill who will have a harem of females. So like four or five different nests in the area of females, and he protects that area. He patrols it, chases away other males, and then so he could spawn with the females. But some of the male fish want to spawn with those other females as well, but they can't get past that big Brutus of a male. So he's just so tough and macho. And what they do is they change their coloration of their scales to look like females so they can sneak past this big guy and have sex with all the females while he's guarding the nests. So they're
nice.
Like
the bosom drag buddies. Fish.
Yeah, exactly. The straight drag fish.
I am on board.
Yeah. So they dress up like girls. They walk past and they blink their eyeballs at this big old macho fish while he's protecting them. And then they have sex with all the other fish.
Sounds like a Monty Python sketch.
It does. Of course I'm a lady. What do you think? I'm just going to go right over there then.
Let us in.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's not sperm. Those are my eggs.
It was just in my mouth.
I was mouth breeding.
See, it's perfect.
It works.
Call Eric Idle.
Thank you, Eric Idle. Male midshipmen hum while they mate. The male shipmen.
Are we talking about Coast Guard people here?
Because, we are. They do.
Okay.
My dad's retired Coast Guard instantly.
So I mean,
he was a big hummer. I don't even. Now I know.
No, you know.
I'd be like sleeping. I'm like, Dad's humming. All right. The male midshipman has been known to make such low constant hum while at mates that it caused some residents to move away from their homes. Located near the waters where this fish lives. Because the wavelength and frequency of their mating hum, the noise travels through the ground, the walls, and apparently even people's houses. They don't attract mates using the gas-filled sacks to keep them afloat. So they do this to attract mates using the gas-filled sack that keeps them afloat, lets out the sonic hum. This fish has like made international news with the noise it makes while it has sex. Yeah.
I just, no, never mind. Go
ahead. You might as well. You've already broke all the walls here, so. You've already made the most uncomfortable podcast I've ever made, so you might as well keep going.
Well, I mean, this is the fish vibrator, right, in many ways, right? Like, please, yes, the vibration, the hum, the okay, anyway.
This is the squiddo, the squildillo.
The squildo. The squirrel dough. I should put affiliate links up at fishnerds.com. Maybe I can make some money off of squirrel dough.
Oh my God, that's brilliant.
I don't want to do that. This is a family show.
Yeah. Yeah. This is how you make families.
Yes. Yeah. And the last story I'm going to tell you. The last story I'm going to tell you is the true story of Finding Nemo. And this is a story, I didn't start with this one, but it's very common. I've told the story a number of times on the podcast and live on stage, but it's really interesting. Finding Nemo is a clownfish, right? Right?
Sure.
Okay. Stay with me here.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Help me out a little bit. He's a clownfish. And in the movie, what happened to Nemo's mom?
She got chomped.
She got eaten, right? By a barracuda. Mm-hmm. Right. So in that movie, that happened. And then Nemo and his dad had to live a life with a single dad household and get on with his world. Well, the reality. Yeah, exactly. Listen to podcasts and get yelled at for laughing at inappropriate times. All those things that happens when we're grieving. So, but what would have happened in real life in this episode is a clownfish are naturally sequential hermaphrodites, which means they can change from one sex to the other. And what would have happened in real life is Nemo's dad would have changed from a male into a female and then mated with the most close to him male around, which would have been Nemo. So the true story of Finding Nemo would be dad turns to a female, mates with his son, has babies, and they live happily ever after. That's
this
the
is
true
like
story.
Psycho.
Is that Oedipus or Electra in that case?
It's Norman Bates. This is Psycho.
Neither, Norman.
You got me on that one. But that's the true story of Finding Nemo. And we've told that a number of times in the show. But it's a classic, and it always hits people, you know, right in the heart.
Hits people right into something, you know.
Yeah,
it's very biblical, isn't it?
It is very. I don't. You know? I've never read the Bible, so I assume
you're not missing much.
Yeah. All right. So that was the fish sex stuff. What do you think about that?
That was so much fun. I would listen to that show regularly.
Well, here you are. Welcome to the podcast.
The fish sex. Yes.
People, longtime listeners to the show know I obsess over fish sex and I talk about it whenever I can. So it is a frequent topic here on the podcast.
It's so interesting.
It is so interesting. Speaking of interesting, let's do some fish in the news.
News, fish in the news.
How about some fish in the news?
I love fish
in the news.
All right. Did either of you bring a news story for us?
I did.
You did?
I did.
Well, please share.
Okay. This was just January 29th of 2020.
Oh, pretty fresh.
As it were. Yes. And this has a certain degree of relevance to my former job. There's the hospital in the Adirondacks in upstate New York, Saranac Lake, where they have started collecting the lures and flies and hooks that have been removed from patients in the emergency room. And they have it's like, I would estimate 6 feet by 8 feet.
Wait, so someone shows up with like a fish hook in their thumb.
Thumbs, that, arms, legs, ears, noses, eyelids, lips, jar. The sides of their necks, the backs of their heads, nearly every body part. He says he's taking lures off several patients' penises and scrotums.
Guilty.
Adding, those incidents usually occurred while the individuals were either fishing and wearing small bathing suits.
Mm-hmm. And, I only fish in small bathing suits. Fun fact.
Well, you know, my favorite line in this article is that usually alcohol had something to do with it.
Of course.
I would think. And the name of the display is called The Ones That Didn't Get Away.
Oh, uh-huh. God. That's perfect.
Yeah. And so this is, Saranac Lake in upstate New York. If you end up fishing and get yourself hooked, you have the opportunity to be memorialized.
That is so perfect. And we have a lot of listeners up that way. And I would be very curious to see if anyone's ever actually been out there and checked that out. I will love to see that. I love that story so much. That's so good. And now I want to see what they collect. But I want the before and after pictures. I want to see the picture of the hook.
The scrotum before and the scrotum after?
No, I don't. Not no. Never mind. I don't. I take it back.
We're talking about dick pics, man.
I now regret saying that. 607-378-FISH is my number. Do not send me.
You know, I have to ask you also, why 607?
607-378-FISH is a Google voicemail.
Oh, interesting. Because, okay, 603 is New Hampshire, which is right. What I would have expected. 607 is my hometown's area code.
Really?
In upstate New York.
So I was searching for a phone number that had the word fish in it.
I see.
And so it took a while, but I found 1-607-378-FISH that had it. So that's our hotline number. It works.
I buy this. I was just curious about why 607. Now I know. I am smarter.
Yeah. So I brought a fish in the news story if you want to hear it.
Desperately.
All right. The headline, and this is from the news.scubatravel.co.uk. And the headline is sex-changing fish recover more quickly from overfishing. Sex-changing fish recover more quickly from overfishing. People eat a lot of fish. Fishing sometimes depletes the fish populations to the point where the fish have difficulty reproducing and growing their numbers again. Establishing marine protected areas that eliminate fishing with their borders can help fish to replenish their populations. They can also be harvested when they venture outside the areas, spilling out in surrounding waters. Some species, however, recover their populations at different rates when fishing is eliminated. A new study from the Ecological Society of America's journal explores how some sex-changing fish species can actually recover faster than fixed sex species. So most people don't understand this. We talked about with the clownfish earlier, but there are a lot of species of fish that are intersex animals, which means they can switch back and forth from male to female and female to male as appropriate for their needs or their population. And so what this article is talking about is there are fish. So if you take a whole bunch of fish out of the population and you have an unbalanced number of males and females, the fact that they can switch between sexes, they can balance that out again, and then they can get that ratio just right, and they can reproduce faster and create more fish at a faster rate. That's the news from there. What do you think about that? Intersex fish.
I mean,
they exist.
Yeah, I think everything's intersex to a degree. You know, every species. I think humans are the only ones who think we aren't. So,
and that's becoming better and better for those humans who do believe what we are. So, it's a good time for people and fish to be intersex.
And fish.
It's a great time to be. It's a better time.
It's a better time.
The best time we've had so far in human history. So, we've come a long way.
I don't know. I would actually.
Yeah,
I would actually disagree because you know, in ancient populations,
and time. Yeah, exactly. You know,
people who are homosexual or intersex were often the shamans.
Yeah,
of the tribes
yeah.
Or killed before they were 12.
No, not so much. No, yeah. No, like, they were honestly, they were seen as having special powers. Having, if you have the features of both genders, you were seen as being extra.
Well, it was different in every culture and every time. It's mm-hmm. been more of like a roller coaster more than anything. It changes depending on where you are, what the culture is. It's not as linear as people think it is. History.
No, that's mm-hmm. true, but. But overall, I mean, humans as a species are now are better than we've
been ever. I think overall.
So, yeah. Overall. There are outliers where that was cool. But like, I think overall, we've been pretty hard on people who are different than us.
Well, and, yeah, I think that what we're getting better at is allowing people to be more than just their genitals.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Not me, though. I am only genitals.
You've already been absorbed into the rest of your
mate.
That's
right. I have bit my wife hard. I am in. Wow. I am just a ball of gonads. Welcome to the Fish Nerds Podcast. Everyone, it seems, wants to get more fish in the world. It's up to you and me, girl. You've listened to a bunch of Fish Nerds when you should have been fishing. Special thanks to Tawny Plattis from the Death is Hilarious podcast and Kate Wallinga from the Ignorance Was Bliss podcast. Also, thanks to Wally Pleasant for our theme song, Diana's Bastels for our Fish in the News theme, and Reed Sutter for our brand new fish sex music, which we totally love today. And that's going to be it. So until next time, follow the code of the Fish Nerds.
Spawn early and often.
Never trust a free lunch with strings attached.
And swim against the current every chance you get. Thank you, ladies, for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. And we'll put links up to your show at fishnerds.com. So fun. That's it. You made a podcast.
Yay.
Awesome.
That's how we do it here at the Fish Nerds.
We did a cast.
Yeah. And that was the most R-rated show I've ever done.
That's cute.
Yeah. Isn't it, right? Like,
that's precious.
Oh, no. So thank
you. It's wholesome.
It is. I'm like, aw.
Whether you're fly fishing in a stream, getting those ankles wet, or deep in the ocean casting nets, Fish Nerds. Fish Nerds. Fish Nerds. It's a podcast.
Just for the halibut.
Fry it in a basket or broiled in a pan. Eat it raw like you're in Siam. Fish Nerds. Fish Nerds. Fish Nerds. It's a podcast.